today. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen, amen. Hey, hug somebody's neck and you can be seated. Thank you, sir. Man, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good to be here. Hey, maybe I need to introduce myself. My name is Cody Cochran. I'm the pastor of Bethel Assembly. And so, no, we've been gone, getting to go around, preach a little bit. And it's always fun to get to go other places and see what God is doing. We've actually, last Sunday, we preached in Austin, Texas. And can I tell you, even God is moving in Austin. Come on, somebody. I'm teasing, but man, it's good. I'm a little bit like Dorothy on The Wizard of Oz. There is no place like home, being with your people and your environment and worshiping God. And so thankful that we get to go and do things like that. And so thankful to have people that hold it together while we're gone. Hasn't Pastor Cole done a great job the last couple of weeks? And yeah, super proud of him and super proud of what's going on. So today, we're going to actually be kind of, we're starting the descent of our summer series. Our summer series has been entitled Summer in Psalms, and where we've been preaching through the book of Psalms. And so we encourage you at the beginning of that to read through Psalms. And I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as we have, just reading through Psalms. It's been really, really cool. And so today, we're going to be in Psalm 129. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there, your phone, your iPad, however, it's going to be on the screen as well. If you're a note taker, Psalm 129, four verses of this psalm. We're going to pray right quick, and then we're going to read the scripture and see what the Lord might challenge us with today. So, Father, thank you for this place. Thank you for Bethel, the place that we call home, the place where we can come worship with family, we can come worship with friends. Lord, we just thank you that every time we show up, you always show up, and your presence and your spirit is here. So, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Holy Spirit, I ask you that today you would open our ears and make our hearts receptive to this word. Lord, you know how excited I am about this word. I believe this is a life-changing word, a word that would set many, many people free. And so, Holy Spirit, have your way. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Psalm 129, verses 1 through 4. The psalmist says this, "From my earliest youth, my enemies have persecuted me. Let all of Israel repeat this. From my earliest youth, my enemies have persecuted me, but they have never defeated me. My back is covered with cuts, as if a farmer had plowed long furrows. But the Lord is good. He has cut me free from the ropes of the ungodly." I love how the psalmist starts out by making this statement, "From my earliest youth, my enemies have persecuted me." I wonder if there's any of us in here that we feel like we've been persecuted. I wonder if there's any of us in here that feel like we've suffered, that we've been through some struggles, that we've been through some pains, that we have been wounded. I just want to remind you and let every one of you know that as long as we live in this fallen world, we are going to suffer some persecution. It's a good thing that you need to know that. I am not a doom and gloom type preacher. I am an optimistic preacher. I am a preacher of faith. But sometimes it seems in the world that we live in and the times that we're living in right now that many people believe that if we'll accept Jesus, if we'll show up at church and have the Bible app on our phone, put $10 in the offering plate, that we're never ever going to suffer any persecution and we're never ever going to have any problems. And I'm just telling you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because when we get saved and when we get washed in the blood of the Lamb, when we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, when we quit riding for the devil and when we quit living for ourselves and when we start living for God, there is a real enemy out there that is going to try to stop us, that is going to try to get us to quit living a life that would honor God. This Christian life is not for sissies. This Christian life of following God is for some men and women of God. That's say, "I will fight the good fight of faith." The psalmist said, "Since my earliest youth, my enemies have persecuted me." Not only does the psalmist make that statement once, he makes that statement twice. He makes that statement twice, it's like double the importance. It's reminding us. Oftentimes when you read scripture, you'll see that when God is making an important statement, when Jesus is preaching an important message, you'll see that Jesus says things twice. He says things like this, verily, verily. He says things like this, truly, truly. And even God, when he called Moses, he said, Moses, Moses. He said, Martha, Martha. He said, Peter, Peter. And it's like I say, tubby, tubby. Or I say, Cole, 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 Cole. Sometimes it's an old trick of communication, like in the preaching world. People say this to me all the time, well, I've already heard you say that. And I said, well, I'm saying it to you because you didn't get it the first time. You need to hear it twice. You got to tell people. You got to remind them a couple of times. The psalmist here is reminding the Israelites of where they've come from. Can I just say something to you? It's important for you and I to remember where we came from. It's important in life for us to pause at particular moments and look back at our life. It's important for you and I to see the dysfunction that we come out. Can I hear a good amen? It's important to look back and see what God has brought us through, because when we look back and when we see and when we realize that it's not our name, it's not our swag, it's not our intelligence, when we realize it is the grace of Almighty God that has picked us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on a rock to stay, it is at that moment that we will say, God, I am grateful for you. God, you gave me chance after chance after chance. We begin to realize that where we are is not about us, but it's all because of God. It's important to remember where you came from. Now, if we're going to be honest today, and we're going to be real, and we're going to be vulnerable, we're going to be transparent, most of us in here, as we look back over our life and see where we've come from, most of us have been through a lot. Most of us have been through lots of pain. We've experienced some pain, some persecution. We've been hurt by others. We've been disappointed. Sometimes, if we're being honest and transparent, sometimes the reason that we're hurt is because it's self-inflicted hurt. And then other times we're just innocent and we were treated wrongfully. But here's the tension today. The tension between looking back where and remembering where we've came from. And the tension is this: we must remember where we came from, but we must never allow our past to define us. I'm going to say it again. We must remember where we've come from, but we must never let our past define us. The psalmist said, since I was a youth, I've been persecuted. Let all of Israel say, since I was a youth, I've been persecuted. And then he makes this statement, but I've been persecuted by my enemies, but they have not defeated me. You need to know and you need to understand that none of us here are perfect and none of us have got it all figured out, but you need to know that if you are still here, if you are still alive, if you are still married, if you are still kicking and breathing air today, you need to know the enemy has not defeated you yet. Come on, somebody. I ain't got it figured out, but I'm still here. I'm still here, and my God is still on the throne. I look, oh. It's perspective. See, here's the thing. It's perspective. You can look at your life as negative, as persecution, or you can look at your life as a child of God who is still alive and never been defeated. You can look at your life and say, I'm just a victim. I'm just a victim. Or you can look with a perspective of the kingdom of God and say, I'm not a victim. I am a victor. Perspective is a game changer. Enemies persecuted us, but they've never defeated us. My prayer for you and me today is that we could shift our perspective a little bit. Shift the way we think. Shift the way that we look at the circumstances in our life. Because I'm being honest with you, too many of us spend all of our thoughts and our time and our mindset focusing on the negative and the bad things and the persecution that have happened to us in our life. And I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest. I'm a pastor, man. I deal with people. I listen and I talk to people all the time. And I would say 95% of the people that I have conversations with, 95% of the people that I have meetings with, all they can focus on is the things that have gone wrong and the way that God didn't do it exactly the way they wanted it to do. We focus on those things. And the struggle with that is this. When all we can think about is negative and pain and hurt, when all we can do is play the victim card, when all we can do is say, oh, I'm just broken, oh, I've been mistreated, oh, I've been abused and I'm suffering with depression, I've been neglected, I am beaten. When that is all we focus on, that is what we become. Here's the scripture. When that's all we focus on, that's all we will become. Because Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Think of yourself as a victim, you'll always be a victim. Think of yourself as broken, you'll always be broken. Think of yourself as sick, you will always be sick. But think of yourself as healed. Think of yourself as chosen. Think of yourself as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Think of yourself as more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Our mindset changes our perspective, and our perspective changes everything. My challenge for me and my challenge for you today is this, that we would remember where we came from. We would remember what we've been through, and we would use it as a testimony of praise to God rather than handing the enemy a gold medal. When all we talk about is our pains and our past and our struggles and our hurts, we're letting the devil say, here's a gold medal, devil, you're winning. But when we take all our past and say, here's what God has brought me from, and I'm not defeated and I'm still alive, it's bringing glory to God. Remember where you came from and remember what you came through. Use that as something to propel you forward as opposed to holding you back. Use it as something to propel you forward as opposed to holding you back. Remember where you came from and what you came through as a sign that you are a survivor. I'm going to say this out loud, and I'm going to say it in love, but I'm also going to say it in truth. It's time we stop complaining and whining about our past struggles and pains, and it's time that we celebrate that we've overcome them. Now, some of y'all don't like that. Because if you overcome your past and you change your perspective, you'll no longer be able to whine about what you've whined about for the last 15 years. Oh, come on, preach. Be real with me, Cody. Some of you don't like it when I say that, because what happened to you in your past, you are still using it as an excuse for the way that you behave and treat people these days. We're letting what happened in the past, and we're still holding on to it, and we won't allow the Lord to heal us of it. And now we can use that and grab onto that to manipulate others to feel sorry for us and give us some attention. Because here's the deal. But if we can't learn to deal with our previous struggles, our previous pains, and our previous persecutions, we'll never be able to survive the current ones and the future ones. Because here's the newsflash for you. Life in this fallen world will always be struggles, always be pains. Here's what we got to do. Here's what I do. I'll be honest with you. When the enemy comes against me and the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy, he will always try to use other people. And what happens is he uses situations, circumstances, and people. And what I do and what you do, whether you want to admit it or not, is the fight is with the enemy, but we'll make it a fight with the people that we're around all the time. The enemy wants to come into your marriage. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. Tubby, you are not my enemy. I am not your enemy, Tubby. Cole is not my enemy. The people around me are not my enemy. People are people, and the only hope all people have is the grace of God. There's an enemy out there that's trying to bring division, and the fight that we're fighting is with him. And if we're going to win that battle, we got to quit fighting with everybody around us. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? We got to remember Ephesians 6:12. Let me give you some scripture. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against our parents, against our husband, against our spouse, and against our friends. We're not even fighting against the liberals and the Democrats and the left-wing nut jobs. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Remember this, the battle is against the enemy. The enemy is Satan and his fallen angels. Fight the fight against them. It's a spiritual fight, not a fleshly fight. Remember this, if you find yourself feeling sorry for yourself and you feel like you're under persecution, listen, Paul told us in 2 Timothy 3:12, he told us, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Like he's telling us up front. Remember this, 1 Peter 5:8 through 9, be sober-minded, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Be sober-minded. You ever been around a bunch of drunks? Can I tell you something? You can be drunk on more than alcohol. You can be drunk on loneliness. You can be drunk on self-pity. You can be drunk on focusing on the persecutions of your past. And here's what we do. We're drunk on the persecutions, and that's all we can talk about. And we're stumbling around, and we can't walk. And the enemy says, I'm coming after them. They're drunk. They'll be easy prey. Yeah. Be sober-minded. Don't be inebriated on the things of the past. We may have suffered, but we are not defeated. The best is yet to come. Greater things are ahead in the kingdom of God. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into your heart and mind the things that God has prepared for you and I. When the enemy reminds us of our past, remind him of his future. Be sober-minded, steadfast, and move forward to seek the greater things of God. You say, Cody, that's awesome, but you don't know what I've been through. I've tried to overcome this. I've tried to forget about the past. Cody, how do we do this? It's so hard. Let's look back at Psalm 129:3. I think we can learn from the psalmist. He says this, my back is covered with cuts as if a farmer had plowed long furrows. As we drove to church this morning, Clara and I, the farmers are plowing up the ground out there. They're plowing up the ground, getting ready for the wheat crop, of which God is going to send rain, and we're going to have a great wheat crop this year. Come on, somebody. But I look at these fields and these furrows and these rows where the plows have torn up the dirt. And the psalmist said, that's what my back looks like because I've been run over. I got these cuts. I've got these wounds on my back, and they're hurting. And so here's what I want us to see through that. We all have marks and wounds on our back from things that have happened in the past. We all do. We have these cuts. We have these wounds. But let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever yourself or had a child that was running across a gravel parking lot? And you stump your toe and you fall down and you have gravel burn all over your hands. Or you scratch your knee, or a horse bucks you off, and you split your head wide open, or your wife hits you with a rolling pin. Come on, somebody. Here's what I want to see. We've all had wounds. We've all had wounds. And with proper care, what happened to those wounds? They healed. They healed, and they became scars. They healed and they became scars. When I was a kid, I'm just thinking in my mind right now, how many of y'all remember monkey blood? Come on, somebody. Anybody? My grandmother thought monkey blood cured every time you got a scratch, you had to put monkey blood on it. Some of y'all need some spiritual monkey blood today. Come on, somebody. Wounds heal when properly cared for, and they turn into scars. They turn into scars. Oh, I've lost my notes now. Where are we at? Let me ask you another question. What happens when we have a wound and it's not properly taken care of? What happens, worse than that, what happens to wounds that we have that we constantly pick at? Here's what happens they become infected. Wounds can become infected. They're contaminated. They become a disease. They're tainted. They turn into germs. Those kinds of things. Let me ask you something, and let me ask you something on a real level, on a personal level, in an authentic way. Have your wounds from your past struggles, pains, and persecutions, have they become infected? Are they contaminating you and contaminating your relationships, contaminating your relationship with God, contaminating the relationships with the people that you're around? Have your wounds from your past contaminated and tainted your ability to function the way God intended for you to do? Because that's all you can think about, talk about, or have on your mind. Sometimes when we get these little cuts and they become infected, it impairs our vision. It turns our heart to stone and it poisons our relationships. Maybe even like the scripture that we read in Peter, in the way that Peter has warned us, we have become intoxicated to the point that we can't even see how drunk we've become, how inebriated we've come, and the enemy is right there at our door. Because how many of you know? Let's be real. It's easy to get inebriated on pains and hurts and struggles and persecutions from our past. It's easy. It's easy to do. I know that life is tough. I want you to hear me on this. I know life is tough. I know the pain is real. I know you've suffered, and many of you still are. But hear me on this today, because the truth is this. If we do not allow those wounds to heal, if we do not allow God to come in and heal them, they will become bondage in our life, and we'll be tied to them. That's all we can focus on. That's all we do. And when we're bound up, first of all, when we become inebriated, not sober-minded, we're an easy target for the enemy. But listen to this. When we get bound up, tied up, handcuffed, chained to, shackled to all of our old wounds, when we get bound up, the enemy has free reign with you. You can't fight at all. Mark 3:27. Let me read this scripture. Mark 3:27. But no one, everybody say no one. No one can enter into a strong man's house. Look at me. Look. You are strong in the kingdom of God here today. You have to have that perspective. I'm strong. My flesh may be weak, but God, your spirit is strong in me. And what I can't do by myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to realize nobody can come into my house because I'm a strong man in the kingdom of God. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds that strong man. Then indeed, he'll plunder everything within his house. Many of us in this place today, I'm glad you came to church. You came to church because you love Jesus. Many of you are here are good people today. You work really hard. You're putting forth lots of effort. Yet, you're still bound to your past wounds. You're still bound to persecutions. You're still bound to those things. That's why we can never get over the top and live the full life God wants us to live. Can I say this? This is second service. Y'all are not in a hurry today, are you? What happens when we get in bondage to past pains? Then we walk around and we are so easily offended at everything everybody says or does. There's another word for it that's really a big word that we're using a lot in our world today. We get triggered. And here's what we have made up in my family and in this staff and the leadership of this church. If somebody triggers me, it's my fault. Not their fault. We're looking for everybody else to blame. We're looking to lay blame on everybody else and put responsibility on everybody else. And we're expecting everybody to walk around on eggshells and only say the things or talk about the things that our unhealed self can handle. It's time that we allow the Lord to heal all of our wounds and to forget about our dysfunctional childhood and forget about the divorce that your parents went through and forget about the spouse that cheated on you and say, it is all under the blood, and I am still alive today. And when we get healed, we won't be offended, and we won't be triggered anymore. I want to declare today, people are about to be set free. I want to declare today, wounds, many of you came in here today wounded. But I believe that you're going to leave here and your wounds are no longer going to be wounds. They're going to be scars. And scars are signs of healed wounds that give glory to God the Father. Wounds remind us of our pain. Scars remind us of the faithfulness and goodness of God. Scars are healed wounds. They remind us not just what hurt us, but they remind us of the God who brought us through and set us free. I'm going to give you one more point. Psalm 129:4. But the psalmist says, but the Lord is good. Since a young age, I've been persecuted. My enemies have persecuted me. My back looks like it's been plowed over with a plow. Verse 4, but the Lord is good. He has cut me free from the ropes of the ungodly. How many of you don't want to be cut free from the ungodly things in your life that we've been bound to? God wants to set us free. God wants to give us scars. Let me give you an example of the power of wounds versus scars. Wounds versus scars. John chapter 20. Verse 25 through 28, doubting Thomas, the disciples. Jesus is resurrected. Thomas is doubting. Thomas says, I don't believe. I think y'all are nuts. John 20, 25. So the other disciples told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see his hands and the marks of the nails, and I place my finger in the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Verse 26, 8 days later, I love this. His disciples were inside again, hiding out. Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus stepped through the door. And he came and stood amongst them and he said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger right here and see my hands. Put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus was living on this earth. Jesus suffered persecution. Jesus had some of his closest friends to turn their back on him. One of Jesus's best friends denied him. The whole place was against him. The crowds were crying, crucify him. He was falsely accused. He was arrested. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They tied him to the whipping post and beat him with the cat of nine tails to the point that he was unrecognizable. They took a cross and made him carry his own cross up the top of Calvary Hill. And they drove spikes in his hands and they drove spikes in his feet. Jesus suffered a greater persecution than you and I can even imagine. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away and he that was dead was now alive again. And now he appears to his disciples and he says, look, they tried to wound me. Look at my hands, look at my side. But he said, God the Father has healed those wounds and turned them into scars. And Jesus allowed his scars to bring belief and faith to other people. Can I tell you? God wants to heal your wounds and turn them into scars, not just for you, but so that you can go out and let others know, here's what God healed me of. And if we will simply embrace that and let God set us free, there will be people in your life and in my life that will believe God because of our scars. Jesus chose to use his scars in three ways as a badge of victory. Come on, somebody. Here's my victory. He wasn't whining. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't playing the victim. He used them as a badge of victory. He used them as a way to glorify God the Father. And he used them in a way to help others believe. How you handle in your wounds. How you handle in your past persecutions and struggles. Because we've all suffered, no doubt. Some may be worse than others. But no doubt, hear me on this. Look. God is able to heal all wounds. God is able to heal all wounds. Your suffering, my suffering, is a result of spiritual warfare and a wicked enemy that will use every person, place, or thing to try to destroy us. But I want to encourage you with the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. I love Paul's attitude. You want to talk about a man had scars? You want to talk about a man that had been mistreated? Here's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4, 8. For we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. See his perception? We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Paul said, I'm a survivor. And you're a survivor today. Here's the closing questions that I have for you. Will you shift your thought pattern? Will you shift? Will you shift it? Will you shift it away from the past? Will you shift it away from the hurt? Will you shift it away from the persecution? Will you shift it and look at yourself through a spiritual lens and through the lens of the Word of God? Will you change your perspective? Listen to me, and I say this in love. Will you please quit picking at your wounds? Would you please quit picking at them? And I say that because I picked at my wounds for a long time. I let the enemy wear me out. Finally, I understood the blood of Jesus Christ and the healing power of God. And no longer do I pick at those wounds. And now I can see God in a clearer way. Would you please quit picking at them? Can I say something else to you? Would you please quit picking at the wounds of the people around you? Because there's people in your life. And you're a wound picker. Just picking at the wounds of your spouse. Come on, somebody. I know. Picking at the wounds of your parents. Just picking at it. Will you allow God to heal your wounds? That's the bottom line. Will you allow him to heal your wounds so that they become scars and they become a badge of victory in your life? Will you allow your healed wounds, your scars, to bring glory to a healing and redeeming and a restoring God? Conrad and worship team, would y'all come help me close? Will you allow your healed wounds, your scars, to help others believe and be set free as well? 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Everybody look, okay? I know Jennifer's prettier than me and Connor's got a big old booty, but look at me. 2 more minutes. Please, I want you to hear this. I'm going to close with this last verse, and it's so ironic. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Watch this. By his wounds we have been healed. How ironic is it that we have wounds that we won't let heal and turn into scars, and it's because Jesus had some wounds and allowed them to turn into scars. That's what will bring you and I ultimate healing today. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and we'll close this way. I said this earlier, and I meant it. Been stirring in my heart ever since God gave me this sermon. Because I really believe some people are going to get set free today. It's the thing that's been holding you captive. It's all you can think about. My childhood was bad. I was abused when I was a child. The divorce that's wearing me out from 20 years ago. The way that person did me wrong in business. So many things we can run through our minds and use as an open wound. And when we think about them, we're picking at them. So I believe that we serve a God that is a supernatural God. I believe by his stripes, we are healed. And I believe some of you today, many of you today, came in wounded, but you're leaving healed with scars as a badge of honor towards victory and would bring glory to God. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you. if you're here and you know that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you today in this moment with courage, with boldness, with authenticity and transparency, we are amongst family. We are in the body of Christ. I'm going to ask you just to stand up where you are. Now, back in the old days, I would have broke out the oil and I would have brought you down here to the front and I'd have went old school Pentecostal on you. But today, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right where you are right now, and I'm going to pray one prayer over all of you for freedom, for healing, for wounds that have wounded you for years and defined you. Today, they will be broken off. The Bible says that the yoke of bondage is destroyed by the anointing. God bless you. Father, I just love you. Can I ask y'all to do something? One more thing for me. Just one more thing. Maybe it's a struggle for y'all, but I'm asking you, if you stood up and you know the Lord's speaking to you, would you just kind of raise your hands towards the Lord? Just raise your hands as a sign of surrender. Holy Spirit, I pray that you begin to move right now in a greater and a mightier way. Holy Spirit, we know you are healer. Holy Spirit, we know you are helper. Holy Spirit, we know you are comforter. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray, God, open the windows of heaven and pour out the healing balm of Gilead. Pour out the anointing in this place to men and women that have their hands raised up. And I pray, God, as their hands are raised up, I pray right now that your healing would start in their hands, that they would reach a little bit better. They would touch in a healed way. They would touch and they would hug and they would shake hands in a way that is healed, in a way that they've never ever done it before. Holy Spirit, as you fall, I pray you would fall on their head like the anointing oil that was on Aaron's head and on his beard. And as you anoint us in our head, Lord, I pray that you would renew our minds, that our minds would be transformed right now in this moment, that you would give us strength, that when the enemy brings lies into our mind, that we would be strong enough to grab those thoughts and take them captive and cast them out. Lord, that we would constantly be renewing our minds, that we would take on the mind of Christ, that our wounds and our scars are healed and we're made whole right now, Lord, as the Holy Spirit touches hands and touches heads. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us a new heart for the hearts that have turned hard, the hearts that have focused on the past and negative. Lord, you said in the book of Ezekiel that you would give us a new heart. You'd give us a new heart of flesh, Lord. Let our hearts beat for you. Let our hearts be soft. Lord, as the Holy Spirit falls now, our inner being, our spirit, let the Spirit of God be inside of us today. And out of our belly would begin to flow rivers of living water, that we would be healed and whole. Go all the way down, Lord, to our feet. Let us walk like healed people. Let us jump like healed people. Let us live every day according to you and the future you have for us and not for our past. Do it, oh God. We trust you. We believe it. We receive it. And we're leaving changed today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, stand up on your feet. Put your hands together.